Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And we are back this morning on a Wednesday morning, a bright Wednesday morning. And did you notice something different just a few seconds ago?
No, what?
Our man, Bobby.
Bobby?
Usually hammers young, on the glass.
Young, arrogant, and hard to deal with. That's Bobby.
He usually hammers on the glass to get our attention because we're not paying attention.
Yeah. I've said this before. It's a shame that we have to do this show and interrupt our conversations.
As long as they don't make us put our conversations on the air. But Bobby, instead of hammering on the glass, he tapped it with a paper.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't feel like extending my arm the extra 3 inches today.
So my peripheral vision, as I'm looking at you to my left.
Yes, you caught you
the
caught
reason
it?
I always found you for passes. My peripheral vision.
Excellent.
I saw it.
Excellent.
I saw him make the move to the glass, and I knew we were in trouble. We had to start, right?
Well, you had a fairly late night last night. I watched every minute of the Kentucky game.
No, every minute.
Okay. I told you, I'm really upset, though, because they put the score and the time at the bottom of the TV screen, and so I can't see the back of your head anymore, because when they didn't do that, as they went up and down, you could see press row, and I could see the
you
back.
You could see my little balding spot back
Well,
there.
I don't know if I'd call it little. but now they've got the score across there, so I don't know if you're there or not.
Well, you know what? That's pretty interesting that you would say that, because maybe I should just figure on not being there and talk from home.
Do it by telephone.
Yeah, talk by TV.
Phone it in.
Well, I think Kentucky phoned it in the first half.
Oh, man. You know, I had a couple of observations from last night's game.
Scouting report.
Now, these are more observations.
Personal.
Observation number one. Kudos to Sean Woods. Yep. I mean, he had his team ready to play. They were totally outmanned, talent-wise and size-wise, but the little jokers were quick, and they stayed between the ball and the basket, and they played hard. And so he really, when we had him on the other day, he said, "I didn't come here to lose," and they played like that.
They did, and they had a little bit of juice mentally, because they saw Texas Southern beat Florida
the night before.
Yeah. And that would pump you up to think that, hey, maybe I can do that too.
Yep.
So,
observation number two.
Okay.
Southern, their players have to have the best hair in college basketball. I love that. That one kid, his hair looked like a fireworks show. It was just spiked and going and straight up. And there was another fella who had a kind of a mini fireworks show going on, but his was tinted gray. His was tinted gray. And there were one guy had a great braid to his hair. So that was observation number two, great hair on the Southern kids. And observation number three is I think the players on Kentucky have gotten as tired of playing the Magnificent Seven as we have gotten watching it.
That's a fair point.
And there was no spark, no energy. They just kind of went through the motions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, people assume that these young fellas don't read the paper, their friends don't read the paper, and they don't discuss They don't look at the schedule. Didn't you look at the schedule when you played at Kentucky?
Absolutely.
You looked at it. You thought about it over the summer. You thought about it in the fall. And, of course, either Adolph or Harry or Joe, somebody would bring up who we were playing during the preseason practices. You know, mm-hmm. I remember reference to, you guys, blank.
And, Mike, look at today. I mean, the only way we got that kind of information is looking at box scores in the newspaper. I mean, there wasn't any ESPN or anything like that. Today, with all of the social media and all of the outlets that you can reference, these kids have to know more than at any time in the history of college basketball.
I agree. And the people around them also know that.
Yep.
And I've always, in Calipari, every coach you listen to talks about ultimately the success of their team is going to be how the players and the coaches handle the peripheria.
Right.
Okay. And, well, it's a dual effort. The players have to be involved in that, as do the coaches.
I don't know if it's social media or the 15 different sports networks that are on TV. The phone. I think it's really affected. I mean, you look at Texas Southern beating Florida, as you referenced earlier. And some of these teams that, look like really good teams, and I know we'll talk about Tennessee later, but they have to start believing all this stuff because, certainly these teams are not up on every occasion to play play the opposition.
And they play 30-plus games, okay? Mm-hmm. And whereas we played 26, and then the NCAA, there was no conference tournament. So I think that makes a difference, too. It, seven more games before you, let's say you play 33, roughly 34. So you have 7 to 8 games more than we play. And usually they're the magnificent seven or eight, right?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I mean, it's
– or nine.
Or nine. Well, you kind of get into the we'll come back. We don't have to start quick. That was what it was impressive against Central Michigan. They got off to a good start and just – drilled Central Michigan early. And we can talk about the level of competition, but I wanted the effort. I thought defensively in the first half, from the start against Central Michigan, their placement, how they handled the pick and roll, the rotation, the whole deal was good. Last night, they were on their heels.
No, it was,
Southern came out, punched them.
What was it, 9-2?
Something
start,
like that.
Start
yeah,
the game.
Yeah.
Like I said, Sean had that club ready to play. There's no question about that, and we were the exact opposite, as you said. We were back on our heels. We didn't stay in front of people. I'd love to hear your analysis, because you're right there. You're around the gym before games, after the games. Who'd you have on the star of the game last night?
We had Davion Mintz, and it's not – there's a discussion about between the SIDs and Jim Barnhart, our producer, about who to send out. So they'll give you a couple names. And TV gets the first call. So TV had Oscar, last night. And so we decided that since Davion came back from being sick, and he's going to be a critical part of this team.
He was rusty last night.
He was rusty. But, I said to that kid – post game, I said, man, one thing I do like about you, and he's got a little you in him. You never were afraid to shoot when you missed five in a row, right? And this kid's not either.
Frank Ramsey told me my rookie year, if you're a scorer, you're at it, and you miss five shots in a row, your attitude has to be the next five are going in.
Absolutely, and I've heard that that particular scenario many times, and it is so true. I mean, the great scorers like you and Rick Barry, he was the same way. And I talked to him one time when his son was playing at Florida. We just were chatting, and he was, Rick, he's got all the answers.
No question about that.
But
no,
he's a question. Funny guy. I mean, he really, you sit and talk to him, it's fun. So anyway, he said the same thing you said. So-and-so, I wish he would not quit shooting. was talking to somebody in the Florida team. He said, I told my son to tell him to keep shooting.
Yeah. No, you got it. I mean, if you're a scorer, you got to have that attitude. You really do. And Minsk had it last night. I think he was 2 for 9 or something like that from the field. Oh, you've got the box score right there.
I do, right there for you, buddy.
Hey, I've got a photographic mind.
You do?
I looked at
it. What about your memory?
I looked at the box score this morning. I can tell you everything that's on there.
The Calipari doesn't mind 20 trays being taken. He said that. Okay, he said, we're not a three-point shooting team. He said, but 20, you know, I can live with 20. But you got to make more than 6. They made 6 of 20 last night. I mean, you know, you had Davion, 2 of 7.
And
Grady, 3 of 7.
3 of 7, yeah. Yeah. And then, there's 5 of the 6 right there. Who made the other one?
Well, the other one was made by Ty Ty. He was 1 for 3.
Okay.
Allen was 0 for 2. I mean, yes.
Allen can't play.
You can't keep throwing air balls up there and tell me you're a shooter.
Allen, when they start playing decent teams, Allen can't play.
He's better. He's better defensively, Mike, and he's rebounding. But Mike, you can't throw air balls.
He can't play.
Oh man, you're cutting the guy off early.
Give him
a chance.
He's had a chance for 3.5 years. How long has he been here?
Well, Big Blue Nation wants to see more.
Yeah, well, Big Blue Nation better start thinking about winning basketball games instead of who's getting time. Because when they tighten the rotation, he can't play.
Yeah, no, his minutes will be. And Calipari hinted at all that post-game, that he needs to tighten up his rotation. And I was listening to somebody on the way home, and they were – talking about their mix of players and whether you should have 4 guards or 4 out and 1 under, whatever combination it is. But the analytics show you that there's one big guy combination that's got to be on the floor. That's Oscar and Brooks. And Brooks played horrible last night. I mean, the kid just, I don't know what was on his mind, but he acted like he didn't. He played 20 minutes, 1 for 3, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, 2 steals and a block.
Let me tell you,
he can play better than that.
But by the time, here's my prediction, by the time they get to the SEC tournament, Collins will be playing instead of him.
No way.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. You're the guy that told me that Kentucky was going to win by 20 last night. I said 12 to 15. It's a 12-point game. Now you're telling me Collins, that's reed thin, you would have killed this guy. You know, I mean, he's so skinny. He's coming on. He can do things. They're going to go at him. When the SEC starts, they'll have a scheme where they'll say, if this kid ever gets the ball, push and shove him, hit him, whatever, you can get away.
They don't give him the ball. The only time he gets the ball is when they throw it up above the rim.
Great point.
And he jumps 8 feet in the air and dunks it. But how many block shots did he have?
One of the coaches up there called that he is a vertical challenger. How about that one?
Yeah.
Kind of like a rim runner.
Yeah.
A vertical challenger. Okay.
Let me get the glossary out. Right there.
I've been holding that one back for a while for you.
But just overall, you know, I know it was there was no energy, but what are your observations about this team? Is this a Final Four team? Is this an NCAA team? What do you think about that? Where are their strong points and where are their deficiencies?
Before I respond, let me talk about Damian Collins a second. Did you see last night the kid tried to make a move under the basket with the ball, either on a rebound or something? And I give him credit for that because they have shied away from him and he shied away too. But last night he got it in there, and I think he got fouled. Let me check. Did he get to the line? No. Yeah, he was 0-for-1. But he made that effort to score the ball when he got it inside, and we hadn't seen that all year. So maybe your point is well taken. I'm not so sure of that. But if he does develop like you think, that's a plus for Kentucky.
Absolutely.
Because when Oscar went out last night, things broke down, didn't they?
Oh, that was one of my takes is Oscar – better figure out a way to stay on the floor, because this is a much better, much different basketball team when he's not in foul trouble. And the funny thing is, Mike, his fouls don't come guarding people. His fouls come, you know, jumping on people's backs, trying to get a rebound.
Well, that's what he does.
Yeah, and the third foul in the foul he had in the second half
on the jump ball
situation.
Yeah,
that looked like a jump ball to me. How they called
no,
the foul
you're right.
on that?
I'm with
but
you.
But he didn't get one foul guarding somebody. You hate to take away his aggressiveness because that's what makes him so good. But, you know, you get that first foul 7 minutes into the game, 10 minutes into the game, you've got to peel back a little bit because your presence on the floor, I mean, you can't help us much when you're sitting over there next to Cal.
And your point is well taken as far as you can't tell him not to be aggressive.
Right.
Okay, because coaches always talk a lot about, I got to get my team to be aggressive, got to get them to be aggressive. And there's a lot of truth to that. Some guys have to be nurtured into being aggressive. This kid brings it to the table, man, so of course, you don't want to take it away from him.
Yeah, yeah. But that's one of the big points to me is if this team's going to be successful or not is his ability to stay on the floor. Because when we get into SEC play, Mike, and he's not playing against guys that are Kentucky's not playing against guys that are 6'6 and 6'7. You know, they're playing against guys as bigger than they are. We're going to need him on the floor because, you know, Collins isn't there yet, although I think he's coming. And I've never been a big fan of Brooks. I know he's had some good games against some bad teams, but we're going to need Oscar on the floor.
Ed, no question. But what I'm looking at the analytics from a fellow that sends me this stuff, and our highest points per possession is with any other combination on the outside, but they need Brooks in Oscar to get that. It's like 1.4 points per trip. You take Oscar and Brooks out of the equation, mm-hmm. take Brooks out first, it drops to like 1.2 maybe.
Yeah, not much.
Not much.
Yeah.
But you take Oscar out, it's like 0.89 to your point.
That's what I said. If he's not on the floor, we're in trouble.
Yeah. We're
not in trouble against Southern, right. but we'll be in trouble against Florida and Auburn and Tennessee and those teams.
Yeah, and Arkansas. Yeah, I mean, I think they've got to get more out of the guys coming off the bench, okay? They just do. Now, your guy, Damian Collins, was 4-for-5 last night and ended up with 8 points in 16 minutes. That's a
you'll
lot of run.
That.
That's a lot of run
you'll
for
take
him.
That.
Yeah. Now, Mintz has got to perform better off the bench.
Well,
I assume he will.
Yeah, he hadn't played in – I mean, I know he was 2-for-9 last night, but he hadn't played in 3 weeks. So, I'm not worried about Mintz.
And he could get some people's – minutes. Now, the other freshman, Bryce Hopkins, who has had flashes of very good play, been inconsistent, but he had a back issue last night and only played 2 minutes. Dante Allen, he's got to pick it up, man. He's got to pick it up. Lance Ware, he's got to pick. Lance Ware got 2 minutes and made a foul, and out he came.
When the rotation is tightened, you won't see Allen or Ware.
So
they'll have to shoot the end of the bench to see them on the team.
So who comes in if Oscar gets in foul trouble? Do you play small and move Brooks over there or put Hopkins in? And Calipari's talking about playing Hopkins at the 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I mean, do you if Oscar goes out, your answer now is to sub where for him.
Yeah.
And you go down.
Not totally.
Well, you can go
small. How many minutes did Ware play?
2.
Yeah. So, Schweboy was on the bench a lot more than 2 minutes.
Well,
so
that leads me to my point.
Okay.
And to your point about maybe Collins will
That's
be.
That's why Collins played 16 minutes.
And maybe he will be a factor come SEC time. But the other guy that got the minutes.
All I know is if I'm coaching that team and we're playing against a center that's 6'10", 6'11". I want Collins. If Schwebe is on the bench, I want Collins out there, not Ware.
I agree. But the mystery guy, now think that we're in total agreement in that. But the mystery guy is Jacob Toppin. He gets 21 minutes. He's 1-for-4. Now, he's not going to shoot a three-pointer. Now, he had 6 rebounds, 2 turnovers, but he had 4 blocks. Here's a guy that's got to score the ball.
Yep.
He hasn't scored the ball.
I agree.
And he doesn't want to shoot the ball. For whatever reason, he seems reluctant to shoot the ball on the perimeter. And he's trying to beat people off the bounce.
Is he not a good perimeter shooter?
There have been times when you think he's a good shooter. Now, I'm not so sure they want him shooting the tray.
No.
Okay?
No.
But he's got to get in between. He's got to shoot that mid-range 2 at the elbow or maybe in. Or take it to the hole and dunk it. Now, he hasn't shown the ability consistently to beat anybody off the bounce.
Well, and that leads me, my second observation was, the first was about Shwepoy having to stay on the floor. My second observation that I think will hurt us going forward is we don't have anybody except for Ty Washington that can get his own shot.
Agreed.
Nobody.
Well, Mintz, he can do it on occasion given the matchup. But last night, Southern was switching everything. Okay, they switched across the board. And when Mintz, he's got to find a guy he can score off of, which would be a shorter player, because he's not going to score when they switch with a big guy, okay? And he ends up with a big guy on him. He's got to drive it then. He's the second best we got right now.
He may be the only. Ty may be the only two, because Wheeler – I mean, he was basically absent last night. He didn't get anything.
No, he didn't.
I think he had as many turnovers as he had assists, or close to it. That part concerns me. Now, when we're in transition, and there are open people at the 3-point line, like Grady, like Mintz, we do a good job of finding those open people. But when it comes to a half-court game, especially when Ty's on the bench, we struggle. I mean, you look at Grady. I'm questioning how this is a young man that scored 18 points a game for basic or 17. Let's say 17.
I think
all 4 years he was at Davidson.
Yeah. It might have been 20.
Last night, I mean, he hasn't figured out how to fit in, or Davidson wasn't playing anybody, one of the two, because last night, look, you look at the stat sheet, he did not take a 2-point shot. He took 7 shots total. He took 7 3-pointers. Now, when he was open, he drilled them. He made 3 when he was wide open. That was it. And I thought, you know, before the season started, I thought he was could put the ball on the floor and get a mid-range jumper. I haven't seen that yet.
No, you're right, and I've talked about this on the show before. I was told by people in Charlotte the kid could score a lot of different ways. Now, let me ask you this question: if you come from Davidson, and you have the ball, you can score any way you want. You are the lead guy offensively, okay? Now you come to Kentucky, and they've got all these cats around them that can do things. So is he playing hesitant for whatever the reason?
If he can score a lot of different ways, we haven't seen that.
No, we haven't.
All we've seen is he can knock down an open 3-pointer. That's all we've seen offensively from him.
No, you're right. And I've questioned that. I said, I think he can do it. Let's see if he does it. He plays 34 minutes last night. And you mentioned the shooting. He was 3-of-7 and 3-of-7 from beyond the arc.
Didn't take, and as a result, doesn't get to the free throw line. He didn't have any free throws, did he?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
He can't get to the free throw line. That part of Kentucky's game is real concerning to me, that we don't have – except for Ty, who also was in foul trouble last night, we don't have a guy that can put the ball on the floor and get his own shot.
Yep. Well, and to your point, Grady did not have a rebound. He had 1 turnover, 3 assists, which is good. But between Brooks and Grady, two starters, last night they had 1 rebound. And Keon got the rebound.
How many minutes did Keon play?
Keon played 20. Yeah, Cal took him out early, and that tells me he was mad about something that Keon didn't do, and he jerked him and sat. And they had a little discussion, which coaches and players have. Then he sat on the bench. And sometimes Keon is very mysterious because he'll be absent for part of a game and then come back. And some games he's ready to play right from the start. You know, I don't know what it is with him, but you know, he's got some talent. He's not going to beat you off the bounce, but he can hit the short corner shot. He will rebound, get fouled, go to the charity stripe, but he wasn't moving last night. I mean, he was 1 for 3, rebound.
The reason he got jerked was it had to be on the defense. It had to be something he did on the
defense. Well, you know, sometimes now Calipari will jerk them if they're going to shoot the ball either out of the where he thinks or too quick. So I can't remember what it was. Might have been too quick, might have been defense.
Because the first few minutes of the game, Southern did whatever they wanted to do offensively. So I'm guessing it was something defense.
Southern has good size. I mean, they had some guys 6'7", 6'6". For that level, that's a good size guy. And their guards were fast and quick, as you said, and they had speed early in the ball game. I think we wore them down.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of depth.
No, not talented depth, no. For sure. Now, Wheeler, and your point was that his assist to turnovers, and you were pretty close to being right, 5 turnovers, 6 assists, yeah, 1 steal.
I knew it was close.
Yeah, it was. It was not a great outing for Xavier Wheeler. Played 32 minutes though. 0 for 2 beyond when they're leaving him open. He's got to shoot the ball, right?
Well, you told me the day he signed he couldn't make a jump shot.
Well, he didn't at Georgia. Everything he did was off the bounce inside the 3-point line.
Was he like 25% from 3-point?
Yeah, something like that. You know, it wasn't impressive. Now, he'll hit some, and I think one of the problems Kentucky's going to have to deal with, just my observation, is that teams are going to scheme defensively to basically give him his shot, okay? You can't get off the 3-point shooters. You want him to shoot, you know? You know, want the other guys
to
shoot.
If I was drawing up a game plan, I'd tell my point guard, stay 3 feet off of him. Stay 3 feet, play his left hand, because he always goes down the left-hand side of the lane. Stay on his left hand, stay 3 feet off of him, and don't let him get to the basket. That would be my game plan against him.
I think you're right. Now, he's got a great ability to get back to the three to his left hand. He's really good at that. A lot of guys don't, but he's really good. But the other thing is, don't you think you let him stay between him and the basket? But if he gets into the paint, don't try to stop him around the block charge or the SEC logo. Let him go to the rim and block his shot, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
no, but he's pretty clever. I mean, he can get that shot off. He knows all the angles, and he extends that left arm and gets it off. But
would you rather have him shooting the ball or the three-pointer?
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Hey, Bobby, is there anything new? I've gotten U of L fatigue. Is there anything new to report from Grumpy Meyer Hall this morning?
No. Not until 4 o'clock when they inevitably come out and say we didn't do anything again. So we got time.
Hmm. I want to talk about that a little bit in
Absolutely.
The next half hour.
Absolutely.
Because I think the timeline most people are looking at is inaccurate. I think there was something going on before they decided they couldn't hire Jeff Brohm, but we'll see what happens. That they meet more than a Lonely Hearts Club, don't they? Holy
shit. It's like the dating game.
I did enjoy, I don't know if you listened to it, but right after our show yesterday, is Process still in there?
Yeah, he's hiding, yeah.
What was the fella's name that did the V show yesterday?
Keith Pointer.
Keith, and he's an attorney.
Yes.
And he had some very interesting things to say about open meeting. You know, they have to post an agenda. This is something I had no idea of. They have to post an agenda of the meeting before 24 hours before they meet, and they cannot discuss anything that's not on that agenda.
That's the one that got me. I knew you had to post, but I did not know that last one.
You can't, if it's not on the agenda, you can't talk about it.
I did not know that.
That's amazing. Hey, vision, everyone has one. That epic cross-country road trip, your dream wedding, that kitchen renovation for churning out next-level entrees. And the folks at Stockton Mortgage can help you achieve your vision. If you're a homeowner, then you may have heard that home values are on the rise in most areas. Take advantage of the historically low rates to refinance your home mortgage to get cash out and finance your dreams. Give the folks over at Stockton Mortgage a call today or get started by going online at Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And KentuckyTourism.com is a great place to go to find out what's going on in the state of Kentucky. Beautiful time of the year, beautiful state. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than home. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Take advantage of KentuckyTourism.com for your plans. And your plans, Mr. Issel, is to talk about what?
Well, I think I'd like to talk a little bit more about the U of L situation. I've been thinking about this, Mike, and I think people have this timeline kind of messed up. Because, from what some people are saying, Vince found out that he couldn't hire Jeff Brohm last Friday and then decided that he was going to go to Florida State.
That's your take?
No.
Okay.
No. My take is he was talking to Florida State long before the Satterfield issue came to a head. Vince Tyree is not a stupid person.
Absolutely.
And as we talked about, and I've outlined, to make a change from Satterfield to Jeff Brohm was going to cost U of L about in the range of $15 million. There's a $7.5 million buyout for Satterfield. Now, that can probably be negotiated over a few years. There's $1 million buyout for Brohm, and Jeff Brohm isn't coming here for $4 or $5 million. I mean, you look at these contracts. So Vince had to know that it was a long shot replacing Satterfield for that with that kind of money being involved. I think he reached out through his representatives, or Florida State reached out to him long before last week and all of these other things happening. It doesn't make sense that the Florida State thing would come up that quick. It just doesn't make sense.
But how do you justify, or how do you put into your theory the fact that he's got a non-compete contract, and if he's got an agent, which he does, somebody's talking for him, he can't be in that conversation right now till you – it's like the guy Lincoln Riley. He Schultz'd him. I know nothing. I'm not going to LSU. The day
he
after
didn't go to LSU. Yeah,
the day after. What is his agent was working the back channels, man.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
no
somebody's
question.
Working the back channels. How did they miss, if indeed they are working the back channels, how are they missing the fact that he had a non-compete for 12 months?
Well,
That's bad representation.
Well, everything's negotiable. I mean, if Vince doesn't want to be here, and there are people at U of L who don't want Vince here, you can negotiate something like that out pretty quickly.
If I'm Ben Aputi, the president, and this all happens, I hold him to the 12 months because it wasn't a good relationship, it doesn't seem like, between the president and Vince, or it got shaky over the Mac incident, okay? That's some of the rumors that you hear that their relationship deteriorated.
That Vince didn't want to suspend Chris for 6 games.
That's what I heard.
And I think even the biggest U of L detractor would admit that that was ridiculous. that he be suspended for 6 games.
They fined him money too, a couple hundred thousand, I think. Well, but, that's a drop in the bucket.
No, that's what he lost. It had fined. That's what he lost in not coaching.
Yeah, that was his salary for the six games. Yeah.
Well,
but I'm Bobby. You've got some clips, and I'm more interested in the Florida State angle of that Eric Crawford. Clip number 3, is that what the FSU time, speculation?
Time frame, I don't think it can go much longer because, you know, if Florida State's going to move on, they're going to move on. And if Tyre doesn't get an answer from them soon, he's either got to come back and figure out a way to do that, a strategy for remaining athletic director, because that's going to be required now if he does, or he's just got to move on from the job altogether, whether he's got another job lined up or not, which is not a problem for him. But, you know, it's already, in my mind, I'm still expecting him to go to Florida State. I think that this has gone on already too long to repair, you know, in the mind tier of Louisville fans, I would think that. I think there might have been a time when he would have been willing to negotiate an extension. I don't know that he found a receptive, you know, school for that at Louisville. I don't know if they're ready to do that. So I would think, you know, if it's not resolved today, I'd be shocked if it wasn't resolved tomorrow, one way or the other.
So the tomorrow is today. And I think a lot of people are expecting that to come out of that 4 o'clock meeting.
What did you say about the meetings that they have? It's like what?
They meet more often than the Lonely Hearts Club over there at Grumpy Meyer Hall. If Florida State, and this again, I think, justifies my timeline. What is today? Wednesday?
Today is Wednesday.
If Florida State just offered him the job at the end of last week, they're willing to hang on more than 5 days. I mean, I think this conversation's been going on for a while. Go ahead.
But supposedly Florida State was in conversations with the AD's people at Clemson. Okay. Could this be a situation where Florida State's trying to use leverage on the guy at Clemson or another AD by throwing Vince's name in the hat? Okay. Is it a leverage deal? Because they know Vince is unhappy. It seems Vince
possibly
is unhappy.
If you were going to use leverage, wouldn't you use somebody with a higher profile than the athletic director at U of L?
Well, yeah, but they got the Clemson guy. They really wanted him. Supposedly, he was their first choice, the AD at Clemson. Highly regarded. You know, Clemson's football and the basketball's been solid. So, supposedly, he was the first choice. Now, I don't know who else they're talking to. They're talking to 3 or 4 people, believe me.
Well, I would speculate that at this point Vince has to move on, or it's going to be it's going to be just like the Satterfield deal at South Carolina. I mean, people are already calling in shows like ours, U of L shows, saying, "Well, you know, Vince never did a good job anyway, so get him." The other one, Bobby, that I'm interested in is number 5, the terms of Vince's buyout.
I think it would have to do with, you know, whatever money they were going to pay Vince over the next 2 years, wanting it, you know, in general, it would be, and I'm not sure what the contract wording is on this, but he would be responsible for paying them a portion of that to leave, to get out of his contract early. That might be money that Florida State has to pay, whatever. That's usually how it works, the school where you're going. For instance, when Louisville hired Chris Mack, you know, they had to pay $4.5 million to Xavier to buy him out of that contract, and it was Louisville that paid that money. We don't see many buyouts with athletic directors, but they might ask for some money just because they're giving up something on the non-compete.
Yeah, that would make sense. Like I said, anything's negotiable. So if and do we know what Vince makes? Surely we do, don't we, Bobby?
I need to look into it, but he has taken, I will say, over the last 2 years, pay cuts due to COVID.
Right.
Listen, he's been very successful business-wise. I, I, he's not hurting, whether he takes a pay cut, gives money back, whatever. Vince can handle that financially, trust me. Talk about Xavier. Xavier got $4 million from U of L when they hired Chris Mack. Now, you can say what you want about what Xavier has done since Mack left. They've been solid. Maybe not quite as good as Mack had them. Who knows? We'll see.
They got a new building on campus.
Yeah,
I know that. That's the only decent building Xavier has on their campus.
Yeah, it's wait a new minute. That's a pretty little campus.
$1.2 million.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
So Xavier got $4 million out of the deal, and they promoted one of their assistants who was already there. I'm sure they didn't pay him because that was his first head coaching job. Didn't pay him what Chris Mack was making, I don't think. And they got $4 million.
Oh,
so
I'm sure
it wasn't a bad deal.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, not a bad deal. So Vince makes $1.2 million. Do you think paying anything to get out is an issue with him? He's been a very successful businessman.
No,
if he wanted to go, he could pay.
No,
he
wants to go to Florida State, he can negotiate, or his attorney, whoever he or she is, they can negotiate a reasonable departure, especially given the way this has played out and how his reputation among the U of L fans has really been hurt, I think.
Isn't it funny, just one quick thing, how people turn on you on a dime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you're in sports.
Doesn't take long.
What's that old saying? You could take 20 years to build your reputation and 20 seconds to destroy it?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, let's listen to a couple more of these. Staying in the Florida State venue, Andrea Adelson, number one, Bobby, surprised that Florida State's going in this direction?
The surprise is that the new president, President McCullough, has gone in a completely different direction than a lot of us anticipated. I think we all believed that he would bring somebody in who had some Florida State ties and familiarity with the program and some of the issues that the program has had over the last couple of years. And I think the appeal to Vince is the business side of what he brings to the table, to be quite honest, because Florida State has had issues for at least the last 5 years, probably longer if I sit here and start to think about it, with their finances. And it's been a bit of a dysfunctional mess down there. They finally got things a little bit more organized with the way their athletic department and their booster wing and the university are now all aligned together. But Florida State still had some money issues that need to be addressed. And I think because Vince has that background, the business savvy, the financial acumen, he can really help Florida State not only with that, but also positioning the athletic department in a much better way for this whole new era with NIL and different opportunities to bring in marketing sponsorship opportunities, et cetera. So I believe that is the appeal of Vince to Florida State. But I will tell you that when I first heard his name, I was surprised.
Well, so let me ask you this question, Michael, and you too, Bobby. I know that when Satterfield talked to South Carolina, most of the U of L people said that was a lateral move.
Please.
I don't quite buy that going from the ACC to the SEC, but we're SEC guys, so we're biased in that direction too. Would you say that going from U of L to Florida State is a lateral move if Vince does take it, or do you think this is –
No, I think it's a lateral move. Florida State's been on their knees recently, and I know historically Bobby Bowden was special teams, and but now they're not that way now, and they need some juice. Vince could be the juice to bring the fan base back under one umbrella, and they seem to be fractured down there. It seems to be fractured here at U of L too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's a lateral move. Absolutely.
What do you think, Bobby?
I don't think so. Here's why. First off, you have the fact that the basketball team in Florida State is currently in a better state than U of L. Not to mention, in that same ilk, there are no overhanging sanctions coming to Florida State and their program in general. It's also not a lateral move because the president of Florida State will not be sticking his hands or his fingers in every pie that Vince Tyree would potentially be trying to get into. So I think maybe you could be seen as a lateral move. When you look at all of the things surrounding U of L that have been surrounding U of L for years, from an athletic standpoint, this is a step up.
Well, there's a couple points that I agree with 100% about the president not sticking his hands in the pie. Well, Vince was not hired by Benaputi, am I right? Okay, and again, it goes back to my theory. If the AD doesn't hire you, you're on a short leash. If the president doesn't hire the AD's on a short leash. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. And when you inherit something, it's not quite yours. You may like it, you may enjoy it, but it's not your decision. You can't beat your chest. Mitch Barnhart can beat his chest on the hire of Mark Stoops, right?
Right.
And John Calipari. Yep. So, you know, at Florida State, he's going to get the cooperation of the president, okay? Now, the thing about Florida State is when they're rolling football-wise, okay, they're pretty daggone good, and they get their alumni under the umbrella. Leonard Hamilton's done a great job in basketball, no question, okay? But basketball's not football at Florida State. Florida
right.
State's
no,
a football school.
Absolutely.
Okay?
No,
it
no
is a football school. Would
now,
you
let,
agree?
Let me ask you one more question. Do you think Vince will make more than if he, in fact, goes to Florida State? And, again, it's all speculation. But I think he's going somewhere. It may not be Florida State, but it's away from here. Because
away from the president.
Yeah, well, away from all of this. You remember we talked about when the Dino Gaudio thing came up, and we said Vince must wake up every morning and think, okay, what's next? What's going on? So
where's the hammer coming from?
He may not be going to Florida State, but he ain't staying here. I can guarantee you that. But do you think he'll make more than $1.2 million at Florida State?
Boy, that's interesting. Maybe with bonuses, maybe, but, you know, with bonuses set when they hire him, but I would think what does the president make? Don't you have to keep that in line with the president, your AD?
Well, they sure don't do it with the football coach.
No, man. Wow. Look, they throw money at football coaches.
What is that thing
they
always
silly
have?
Silly money.
Where it's like isn't Gino Auriemma, or wasn't Jim Calhoun like the highest paid public employee in the state of Connecticut for years?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's the same thing. It's
But you're not going to get that at Florida because Florida State, you got Florida and Miami. Miami just unbuckled. On a coach, and I think they're going to unbuckle on an AD also named Tom Jurich.
I don't think so. I don't think he's coming. But no, I will say this, as far as football goes, there is, if Mike Norvell, when Mike Norvell inevitably fails down there, you do have a built-in coach and a very popular individual. He's kind of like a Jeff Brohm for Florida State in Deion Sanders, who's done extremely well after a couple seasons in Jackson State.
Yeah. No, he has. I tend to side with Bobby. I don't think this is a lateral move. I think this is a step up the ladder.
Well, if you look at
for the things that process outlined.
If you think then that this is not a lateral, it's a step up, you do have a chance to make a change in your football program. And football drives the athletic department. So to your point, Deion Sanders, given what's happened in basketball with former players, i.e. Michigan in particular, people are taking chances on former players, not chances, but giving them opportunities if they've shown some success.
Yeah.
And Sanders has shown success. You're right, Bobby.
Plus, he's already got a national TV commercial with Saban. Let's do one more, Bobby. Andrea, talking about Florida State, has ended their search.
Well, it's not a done deal yet because he has his contract situation to resolve with Louisville, and Florida State is not going to move forward with anything until that contract is resolved. But as far as I know, and again, it's Tuesday at 1:36 p.m., Florida State has told the other people who interviewed for the job that they're going in a different direction, and that this is the direction that they plan to go in. So I have not heard anything about reopening the search, interviewing other people. As far as I know, the search has been completed. It's just a matter of Vince being able to tie up Louisville so that he can then be free to move on to Florida State.
Hmm.
What do you think of that take?
If she's right, where there's smoke, there's fire, Michael.
Yep.
I would guess that Vince is going to be the next AD at Florida State.
I would move all my chips over to you.
You're all in.
All in on your thought.
Okay.
I'm all in. Right. But I still believe it's a lateral move.
Okay. Well,
it could be a great move if everything was cool at Florida State. If they were rolling football-wise, everything would be cool. Okay?
Is everything cool here?
No, I'm not, both of them. I mean, that's why I say it's lateral.
Yeah, but at least there's no sanctions coming down from NCAA.
That may be what he doesn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
No question. And the president's got to deal with it. She's the president unless she moves on. So I just think that somewhere along the line, before all this happened, there was friction between the president and Vince.
No, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and we may never know. But
And I would think the Chris Mack suspension was a big part of that. But it might even go back prior to that. Don't know. But I'm sticking with what I said, that they were never going to make a change at the football coach for the kind of money it would have cost them. No matter who's the president, no matter who's the AD, that's just, I mean, and the guy's 600. He's going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
He's got the easy schedule next year. I'm glad that Satterfield is here. I think he deserves that. But
I agree.
I don't think there was ever going to be a chance that the football situation changed.
It does. It as much as the fans turn on coaches quickly, they turn back on them. This thing is set up for Satterfield next year. If he can fill some holes and recruit some people, develop some people, this situation is set up for maybe an 8-win game, 8-win season.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
A 9.
Are you going across the bridge on 7.5?
Wait and see what comes out.
Ooh.
You know, I got funny money in my pocket, yeah. So I got $5. Yeah. I won $5 on that bet.
Hey, are you looking for some thrills this weekend? Hop on a mountain bike, race through whitewater rapids, or zip through the treetops? This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.